recognize that as this psalmist speaks, there are pictures of our love for you and our love for your word. I pray that you would help us to be alert and that you would guide our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated and thank you for standing. The psalmist speaks about what it has taken for him to meditate, for him to fall in love, for him to learn the Scripture. There used to be a day when there was a great emphasis placed on education and learning. But it seems like, and certainly over the last year, sadly, our government has lowered the expectations for learning during our COVID season. And I guess in some ways we may still be in that. There were many, many schools all across the United States who passed recommendations and sometimes what would be a law or an expectation in the school that wasn't necessary for grading and wasn't necessary for you to give a student marks, but just hope that they show up and hope that they do some work. And I suppose that there's a place for some of that, but the truth of the matter is there was a time when we would emphasize applying yourself and expanding yourself. Find a field of study. Find God's calling in your life. Serve the Lord and look for a way that you can grow and expand yourself. And along the way, institutions, there were guidelines that had a basis found in the Word of God. A lot of our older educational systems in the United States of America go back to some principles found in the Scripture. That's changing, and it's changing in our day because there's many institutions where they have no respect for the Word of God at all. In fact, they don't want the Word of God in education. We'd rather not have the Bible in schools. We'd rather not have children learn about the Bible. But, you know, the Bible is really a true source of scholarship. The King James Bible has a vocabulary of over 6,000 words. And the meaning and the emphasis and the application and the impact of those words is far greater than we can ever measure. The influence of the Bible is found in art and law and music and literature and social justice. It's everywhere in our culture. Charles Dana was addressing students years ago when he said, of all the books, the most dispensable, the most usable, the one whose knowledge is the most effective is the Bible. There's no book that has more suggestive style and more instruction from which you and I can learn with confidence rather than the Bible. Over and over, literary figures have gone back to the Word of God for quips and sayings and words and phrases and ideas. Dr. Odell Shepherd was a professor at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. He said that America rests on four cornerstones: the English Bible, the English language, common law, and traditional liberty. But then he was quick to say, liberty and language and law are nothing apart from the Bible. And he was right about that. Perhaps if when we came to this country many years ago and we brought nothing across the sea with us but the Word of God, maybe America would still be a great nation. And the psalmist takes some time to tell us about his love for the Word of God. I know that you know this tonight in this Sunday night crowd, but without the Bible, America could not have become what she is today. Without the Bible, our nation would not have been framed the way that she is. And furthermore, when she loses the Bible as her foundation, then as a nation, she will be no more. The Bible is a teacher to the best of men. The Bible is a rebuker to the worst of men. And the Bible is a companion to all men. So I want you to notice what the psalmist tells us about this. Notice several things that are in our notes. First of all, letter A, he starts with a regard for the Word. Verse number 97, he says, oh, how I love that thy law. It's my meditation, not just sometimes, but all through the day. It seems like, that as we read this verse, it seems like he has occupied himself every day, and he's occupied himself all day with the Word of God. Can I just tell you, there's so much to love about the Bible. You know, I love being around someone who's a new convert or who is just getting right with God, or maybe they've gotten on fire and they've gotten a spirit of revival because they're finding passages in the Scripture that speak to them. They're coming alive in their life, and it's exciting and it's energetic. And I know that in every church there's some fuddy-duddies who have been saved a long time and the fire went out a long time ago, and you say, well, those people just don't know anything about the Word of God. Hey, let them fall in love with the Bible. It's good for us to do that. The Bible's filled with wisdom. The Bible tells us about life and death. The Bible tells you how to make a marriage work. The Bible tells you how to be a success, how to raise a family. The Bible is simple in its words and its structure. We saw that this morning in 1 John chapter 5. I mean, one-syllable words that have a basic meaning. It can't be any more plain than that. The Bible's such a wonderful book because you can pick it up year after year and go back to the same passage and read it, and it's still alive. Or you can dive off into what would be for you maybe new territory and explore these wonderful truths that are found in the Word of God. And the psalmist said, I've been saturating myself in the Word of God. And I just want to tell you, I love it. I love it. I love what it says to me. I love how I feel when I read it. I just love being back in the school of the Bible. And I just want to tell you, there's a lot of Christians who've been in church a long time that should fall in love with the Bible again. And he starts with just the simple statement, oh, how I love thy law. In fact, I think these words would be similar to the psalmist thinking about it all day. It's like a husband who is enraptured with the beauty of his wife. Thank you. All right. That was your cue. It was right there. And all through the day, I mean, he just can't wait to get home. Now, I like smartphones. I like text messaging for that reason. I love to send my wife little notes and little texts that say something like, can't wait to get home and kiss your mouth off. This is a family service, all right? The psalmist has this picture of, man, I've been waiting all day long just to get home and to see you. I've been waiting all day long just to embrace you. I mean, just to lay eyes on you. Just to lay my hands on you. I just can't wait. Can I tell you? As much as I've sent text messages like that and meant it, I'd have to say that I don't always feel that way about the Bible. I have to say that, sadly, I don't always long for it every day, all day, like I should. And the passion that the psalmist has is like that flaming fire in the fireplace on a frosty winter night. He cries out, I love it. I love it. I just can't wait to spend time with the Word of God. I've been thinking about it all day long. All day long it's been running through my mind. I just can't get enough of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Can you say that all day long? Can you say that it's been on your mind through the day? The psalmist says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now, this is one of those stanzas that has an outline, and you'll see it on the screen. But within the outline, there's an outline itself. And one of the first ways that you can fall in love with the Scripture is to learn to meditate on the Word of God. You learn to meditate on the Word of God and you will fall in love with it. That's what the psalmist said. He meditated on the Bible or God's Word because he loved it, and he loved it more because he meditated on it. He just couldn't get enough of it. I mean, the more he spent time with the Word, the more he wanted more and more of it. His thoughts were overwhelmed with it. His thoughts were ingrained with the Scripture. You know that the more you devote your thoughts to the Word of God, the more you fall in love with the Word of God. The more you spend time in the Word of God, the more the Word of God helps you to fall in love. It is said that some people, the more you know of them, the less you admire of them. And I want to tell you, that will never be true of God's Word. The more you know about God and His Word, the more you fall in love with Him. Familiarity of the Scripture breeds affection, and that affection seeks for a greater familiarity. You just can't help but fall in love with the book. That's what the psalmist said. The Word of God gives you strength in stress. It gives you peace in pressure. It gives you clarity in chaos. It gives you hope in hurt. The Word of God is like a sizzling steak to someone that hasn't eaten in days. The Word of God is like that stream flowing down the rocky hills to a thirsty soul. It quenches that thirst. It's a light in a dark path. It guides me when I don't know where to go. The psalmist said, "It's the law, and I love it." Now, I want you to notice the word that he uses. I'm using the word of God. I've used the word Scripture. I've used the word Bible. But the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love thy what? Thy law." The word law there comes from the Hebrew word Torah, and it's an interesting word because it means to shoot instruction into. It carries the idea that instruction has been interjected into the heart so much so that it makes an impact on the heart. I mean, it's there, and it has left a mark. The Bible's not just a sip of water. The Bible's a bucket that totally satisfies. That's what the picture of the Bible gives. And the psalmist said, "I will therefore," or "because I love the law, I meditate on it." I go over it over and over and day after day, time after time, and I reflect on the Word of God. Now, we come to the end of verse number 97. We're going to do all 8 verses. And you have to ask yourself a question. Is this just the psalmist's personal testimony? Or does it have some kind of impact for me? I mean, am I just reading about what he states about his love for the Word of God and the fact that he says so indicates how much that he loves it? Or does it give me instruction as well? How does a person meditate all day long on the Word of God? I know, some of you are sitting out there and you're saying, "Preacher, I have a job. And I have to work, or my boss, he'll get on to me if I'm all day long." How do you meditate all day long on the Word of God, or all night long? Well, can I just give you a few suggestions? These are not in the notes, it's just a few suggestions. You ought to start by memorizing the Word of God. You should strategically have a plan and make yourself recite the Word of God. Keep it on a card in your pocket. Put a reminder on your phone where it pops up. Make it to where it is constantly in front of you and it is before your eyes, and it will be caused all day long to pass in front of you. Vance Havner said, "Speed reading is a great talent, but it was never intended for the Bible." That's pretty good, because it takes prayerful, calm meditation for you to extract nourishment out of the Word of God. I fear that most Christians, if they do spend time in God's Word, they rush through it at best. Don't look at me that way, because all of us are guilty at times. You're not going to fall in love with the Word of God that way. You're not going to meditate on the Scripture that way. I gave you a schedule of memory verses back in the year 2020. You remember that schedule? A verse for every week of the year. It's a great tool to just keep the Word of God in front of you. Here's the second thing. Use a notebook or a phone or something to jot down thoughts throughout the day. This is just a personal thing, I rarely read my Bible without something to write on. Rarely. Because I want to be able to jot down what God says to me. Now, maybe your mind's sharper than that. Maybe you're a lot quicker and you can remember those things. But I want to be able to go back and to look at, well, what does that verse say? What did the Lord teach me there? What was this thought here? I rarely will get into the Word of God without having something to jot the thoughts down that God has put on my heart. Here's the third thing. While you're waiting, instead of scrolling, meditate. I was standing in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru line yesterday. Standing. Did you catch that part? I'm standing. I wasn't in the car like everyone else. I had a trailer. I was not here. I was in Murfreesboro, and I was standing in the drive-thru. You never feel more awkward than when you're standing in a line with cars. Everybody's looking at you like, look at that poor guy. He doesn't even own a vehicle. It makes me want to just pretend like I have an invisible vehicle. Standing in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Do you know what almost without fail in every vehicle, you know what they were doing while they were waiting? Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. But you know, you think about, calculate how much time that you wait. Instead of scrolling and checking your Facebook, try meditating. Try going back over what God has taught you that day. Say, preacher, God didn't teach me anything today. Well, you start somewhere and just take the verse you're memorizing. Take something that you know about the Word of God. I'll tell you this, God will give you insight when your mind stops. Here's the fourth thing. Compare verses of Scripture with what you know with other passages. And I don't know if you got all those things. Those are four simple things that will help you if you put them into practice on meditating on the Word of God. Learn to fall in love with the Bible. Abraham Lincoln said, we live and die better by the book. Woodrow Wilson said, I feel sorry for the man who does not read his Bible every day. He then said, there are so many problems before the American people and before me as a president, and I expect only to find solutions in the Word of God. I've got to tell you that I'm convicted. I'm ashamed to say that I think about a lot of other things. And sometimes things that I got no business thinking about. And I don't meditate on the Scripture like I should. And I have a sneaking suspicion I may not be the only one. Letter A, there's a regard for the Word. Letter B, there's revision by the Word. Notice what he says, verse number 98. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Now the question of verse number 98 is, what is ever with him? His enemies or the commandments? And the answer is yes. For they both are ever with him. But the context is that the Word of God has ingrained him and made him wiser. There's a classic biblical example of that in David, especially in his early years. You know the story of David. Saul becomes jealous of him, and David is on the run. And several times, Saul has tried to kill David, and yet the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, and David sought refuge in the Lord, and the wisdom of David, the Bible said, made him wiser than Saul. You find David in the cave meditating on the Word of God. You find David in a place of loneliness meditating on the Word of God. The psalmist said, it has taken residence inside of me, and it is working from the inside out. And the commandments are a part of my everyday life. They're ever with me. They stick with me. I live by them, and I put them into practice every day. The Bible will make you wise in your finances. The Bible will make you wise in your health. The Bible will make you wise in business. The Bible will make you wise in relationships. The Bible will give you wisdom in knowing how to parent. The list is endless. It has made me wise, wiser than my enemy. The Bible will protect you from those that want to destroy you. There's revision by the Word. Letter C, there's reliance on the Word. Verse number 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. Verse 99 and verse 100 say a similar thing. I have more and I have understanding. And then he adds a description of a different group of people. Many Christians, I believe, do love the Bible. In fact, I would say you probably wouldn't be at church on a Sunday night unless you love the Bible. Probably that would be the case. I hope that's the case. But here's the challenge. Sometimes when trials come, we tend to drift in our faithfulness. We tend to stray a little bit. And if you want to fall in love with the Bible, make up your mind that you're going to obey it no matter what happens. No matter what happens, I'm going to obey the Bible. You're going to face some things that you don't know what to do. The Bible gives you answers. You ever wonder if praying does any good? The Bible says it does. You ever wonder if tithing pays off? The Bible says it does. You ever wonder if Jesus is really coming back? The Bible says he is. You see, the Bible gives me a perspective and wisdom. And here's what the psalmist said. I have more than my teachers. All right, now, if you are under the age of 18, you need to listen very carefully. This is going to help you. You can go to school tomorrow, or if you're homeschooled, you can say to your parents, Mom, I read my Bible today, which means I must be smarter than you. Come back next week. Let me know how that worked for you, will you? No, obviously, that's not the context of what he's saying. But there is an emphasis where he says teachers. And then in verse 100, he says ancients. Now, I like that. Because every so often when I say something about old people, some of you snicker and snare, and you want to throw a hymn book at me. I have yet to call you ancient. But the Bible did. So what does he mean? Well, the picture is of age and experience. And so the psalmist said they deserve respect. They deserve some kind of reverence because of age and because of respect. But now watch. To be old doesn't always equal wise. Are we okay with that? Just because a person is old doesn't mean that they're wise. In fact, sadly, a person can have grown up in error and may have lived many years and still be unwise. So the only way that I can really be confident about that is through the Word of God. I rely on the Scripture. Letter D is resting in the Word. Verse 101 through the last verse 104. The last principle in loving the Bible is found in verse 101, to refrain your feet from evil. Now let me make this statement, and it's about as basic as it gets. But if you live in sin, it's going to affect your attitude toward the Word of God. It can't be more plain than that. Good people, people who I believe want to live for God and want to do right, sometimes get off track and fall into sin. And as I preach, the Word of God just doesn't seem to affect them. It just kind of bounces off. It just kind of glazes over. Because if you live in sin, it's going to affect your attitude toward the Word of God. Now these last four verses, if you didn't get anything else, in these last four verses, the psalmist outlined for us what it looks like to rest in the Bible. Would you jot these four down if you didn't jot anything else? Number one, you ought to live a separated life. 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. All right, ready. Are you listening? You want to see Bible 101? It's in verse 101. This is elementary 101 in the Scripture of the Christian life. Man, keep your feet from the evil way. The word refrain carries the idea of to keep back or forbid. And the psalmist said, I forbid my feet from every evil way. Now, how many of you understand that's not an easy task? That's not all. It takes some resolve. Because the devil's good. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. But the fact that this word is used, I have refrained. The fact that the word refrain is used is a reminder that all of us are sinners by nature. And we will, by nature, stray. Even wise people who love the Bible are going to have to check, make sure your feet are headed in the right path. And by refraining your feet from evil, it will keep you from heartache. You know that your feet will take you places where your eyes and your hands and your mind will be tempted to sin? Now, I could spend the rest of the sermon giving us illustrations, but you understand. However, for sake, let me just mention a few. That means that you may have the liberty on your smartphone to scroll and look and click. But you better learn to refrain. That means when you're driving home from work, there may be a place where you would like to frequent, but you're going to have to refrain. That's a choice. That means that perhaps there are some associations or relationships that tend to drag you in the wrong direction. You're going to have to keep yourself back so that you don't fall away. That's a separated life. Now, you fill in the blank in your life, but that's a separated life. Number two is a steadfast life. Look at 102. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. If you want to love the Word of God, don't depart from the Word of God. But Lancaster, I apologize. This is about as elementary as we can get on Sunday night. Man, stay away from the world and stay in love with the Bible. This is where Christians get into trouble. We start to drift. But if you follow the Word of God, as God is blessing you, what happens is you begin to fall in love with that. Man, all of a sudden, God's blessing me. I like that. I'll take some more of it. And you fall in love with it. And God blesses you again for being obedient. I like that. I'll take some more of it. Be steadfast. Number three. Have a satisfied life. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Somebody made this statement, you know it. A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone that is not. The psalmist said, man, I'm satisfied with the Word of God. It satisfies me. I have developed a taste for it. In fact, he said, yea, greater than honey. Right? In other words, the taste for the Word of God is greater than the taste of my stomach. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning about the wonderful smell and the wonderful enjoyment of chocolate chip cookies right out of the oven. I mean, it's just hard to beat, isn't it? Now, we were talking about how you take all them ingredients and you mix them together. By the way, if you're in my Sunday school class, my wife went home and made cookies today. Thinking about talking about cake next week. And I love them. Man, if I smell them, you better cover the pan. I'm getting in them. The psalmist said, you know, I love the Word of God and I crave it like that. And it said that Emperor Melanick II, when he got sick, he would eat pages from the Word of God. He believed and took the Bible literally that if he ate the pages of the Word of God, that it would heal him. He died in the year 1913. Get this. He had eaten the entire entire book of 2 Kings. Now, I'm not sure that's exactly what God has in mind. It might be a good thing, parents, children, you can cover your ears. It might be a good thing, parents, if you decide to pack a New Testament in some of your kids' lunch. You don't need to eat, you just need to read. But isn't it amazing how that a craving that we have drives us to make decisions? I mean, you'll drive out of your way to get a certain place to eat. You'll wait in line just because you want to eat there. You'll spend time in the kitchen so that you can pull yourself up to the table and enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with any of those. But now, wait a minute. If your appetite will drive you to that, then how come it's so inconvenient for us to spend time in the Word? It's better. It's greater than the taste of honey. Your life might be bitter or sour or distasteful, but the solutions you find in the Word of God will be sweetness to your soul. Number 4, verse 104. It is only 6:50. Some of you owe me an apology. Look at what the verse says. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Number 4, a sterling life. I hate every false way. Now, the word sterling makes you think about what? Silver, usually, right? Makes us think about jewelry in particular. It makes us think about silver. And it's supposed to be the difference between that which is low quality and that which is good quality, that which is good and that which is bad. And there's a metaphor of whether it's a quality life or no quality life at all. If you want to fall in love with the Bible, hate the deception of the world. Stay away from it. Especially the lies that Satan whispers in your ear to lure you away from God. It is deception for you to believe that if you have an affair outside of your marriage, you'll be satisfied. That's deception. It's deception for you to believe that if you lie and are deceitful at work, you'll be able to get ahead. That's deception. The psalmist said, I hate all those false ways. How do I navigate that? Well, the Word of God gives me understanding for what's true and what's deception, for what's wise and for what's foolish. These are principles that cause the psalmist to fall in love with the Word of God. And I ask you a question. It's been with every stanza. How much do you love the Word? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take the Word of God and apply it to us. And Lord, please help us to be good hearers. And Lord, I pray that you would have the liberty in our heart to draw us close to the Word. Father, I don't know if as we read these verses, if they can become more real than our appetite and our desires throughout the day.